The Balak Urim points out that in every parsha in the Chumash after the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, his name appears in the Chumash. Adab Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu, and so on, or the stories that are related. So the Balak Urim points out this is the only parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear after his birth. Before he's born, of course, his name doesn't appear. So what is this supposed to represent? Every parsha in the Chumash after the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, his name appears in the Chumash. Adab Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu, and so on, or the stories that are related. So the Baal Torah points out this is the only parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear after his birth. Before he's born, of course, his name doesn't appear. So what is this supposed to represent? So the quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that usually most of the time Parshas Tetzaveh falls out, Zayin Adar, the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, falls out on the week of Parshas Tetzaveh. That's the date of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, when he left this world. So as a remez for that, the name doesn't appear, because he disappeared from the face of the earth. What is that supposed to represent? So the Baal HaTurim talks about that. Nunuz. The mitzvah of lighting the menorah. Has to be fulfilled with Shemaz Ayizoch Kos Islamo. You have to have dafka olive oil. In the beginning of Perek Bamem Adlikin, the Mishnah lists all which wicks and which oils may not be used for the purpose of Hadlokas Neir Shabbos, because they're not going to burn well. We're afraid that the candles may go out, so you'll be left sitting in the dark. You won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Einik Shabbos. Or we are concerned that it may flicker and may get diminished, and the person may forget, and Shema Yata, Xera Shema Yata. So the Gemara says that when you light the menorah, you shouldn't use any of those psilus hashmanim shama chachamim eim adlikim ahem b'shabbos zuhu adinami in the Beis HaMikdash eim adlikim ahem. So Rebbe Akiva Eger and the Gilyan Hashas on the side of the Gemara asks Akasha, what do you mean? It's a hashash that it may go out. You can't use any other kind of oil because the pasuk says you need Shemaz Aizach Kos Islamo. You can't use peanut oil or cotton seed oil or the other kinds of oil. So the fair chance to be Shemaz Aizach. Maybe the memory in the Gemara in the first daf in Belem Adlik, maybe you should say Psilois, Shama Chachonim, the wicks that you're not allowed to use for Shabbos, you're not allowed to use in the Beis HaMikdash because you want the menorah to burn nicely. But to say Shmoni, that the oils that may not be used on Shabbos may not be used in the Beis HaMikdash only because of this reason. No, better reason. You won't be out to the mitzvah. That's Rabbi Kivega's comment on the side of the Gemara. So the Pashto says that it's certainly correct. Some want to suggest that Rabbi Yeruchim Perla has a long discussion over this in his comments on the Sefer HaMitzvah of Sadigun. He makes a very wild suggestion. He's not happy with it either. He quotes a medrash, an obscure medrash, which seems to imply that the Shem is Ayizach, it is only Lachatchila. And Nikar Adin, if you want to use cottonseed oil, you want to use peanut oil or some other kind of oil, it'll also be acceptable. So that's what the Gemara. For the Eved, if you don't have Shem is Ayizach, so you can be Yotzei Mitzvah with other oils. So that's what the Gemara says. If you want to substitute another kind of oil, you shouldn't use one of those inferior oils that the Mishnah lists off in Masechah Shabbos. It may not be used by Halakas Neir Shabbos because it may not burn well. So the menorah may go out in the middle of the night. But the Pashto certainly is not like that Mashmois in the Medrash. Pashto says, like Rabbi Kivega said, that the Shem Azayis is Li Kuvah. That's all Pi Pshutai. The bulk of today's Sedra, the halachas of today's Sedra that are Ladoris, are about the Big Day Kuhuna, that there were two uniforms for the Kohanim. The Kohen Gadol had one set of Shmoyna Begodim, and the Kohen Hedyot had a set of Arboa Begodim. There was in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, there was an institution of a Mashuach Mechama, who had some of the dinim like a Kohen Gadol, some of the dinim like a Kohen Hedyot. So the Gemara says that he wears Arboa Begodim. When he does Avodah Beis HaMikdash, he wears Arboa Begodim, he does not wear Shmoyna Begodim. What's the idea behind he doesn't wear any big dekuna at all when he goes to the battlefront? Big dekuna are only when you're doing avoid on the Beis Hamikdash. The Psukim indicate, the Gemara and Sanhedrin learns out from the Psukim, that Bizman Shebigdei Malein Klunosim Alein, Ein Bigdei Malein, Ein Klunosim Alein. If a Kohen comes into the Beis Hamikdash and he'll do avoidah without any of the Big Dekuna, or even if he's wearing most of the Big Dekuna but he's not wearing all, if he's a Mechusa Begadim, or Huad Dinami, if he's a Miyuta Begadim, so the whole avoidah is partial. What's the reason why Mechusa Begadim, the avoidah is partial? So the Gemara derives from the Pasuk because Bizman Sheim Bigdei Malein, Ein Klunosim Alein, and is considered like a Zar. And there's Misa B'dei Shemayim, just like if a Zar is a non-Kohen. If a non-Kohen will be Makrov Karbonus in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Pasuk says, Hazar HaKorev Yumas. Hazar means a non-Kohen, HaKorev means will be Makrov Karbonus. Yumas means Misa B'dei Shemayim. Some translate the Pasuk wrong, that if a non-Jew enters the temple, he's put to death. It's not a bad pshat, just that the three words that are wrong. Hazar HaKorev Yumas. Hazar does mean a non-Jew, means a non-Kohen. A curve doesn't mean he walks in, it means it's makor kabbanis. And yumas means b'dei shamayim, doesn't mean misa b'dei adam. Otherwise it's not a bechah. Just that every word is wrong. During the period of the Second Temple, they used to have a sign up that they didn't allow non-Jews to enter the temple, and if a non-Jew would enter the temple, they would put him to death. That's what kind of it is. It's not based on this pasuk at all. They have such evidence in this Zman Baishim. They feel it's bizoyant to let a non-Jew enter the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So they warned them in advance, they said they're going to put him to death. It is, okay. It's a design to the Beis HaMikdash, to have a Nachri walk in. Halachai Mer Galach. You sure shouldn't let a Galach walk in. But that's not what the Pshat and the Pasuk is. Hazar Karav Yumas and the Pasuk means that if a non-Kohen does HaKravas HaKarbonis, it's Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Gemara says that the same punishment, Misa B'dei Shamayim, applies if a Kohen is makor karbonis, he's a bona fide kohen, but he's not wearing the big tikkunim, because this man sheim yigdei maleim, ein kunosim aleim, they don't have the din of kedushas kohen. That's a famous kasha that the Bali Atesis talk about. The Mordechai in Gittin quotes on an incident that on one occasion, a kohen, a student of Rabbi Natan, Yotzak Maim, Ayde Rabbi Natan, he put, Rabbi Natan wanted to eat his bagel for lunch. So one of the Talmidim poured water. They didn't have a sink with running water. They had to go schlep water from the well, and they had to have a bucket and pour the water. They had no faucets. So one of the Talmidim filled up a cup of water and was pouring the water under Rabbi Natan's hands that he should wash into the Siddur. So the Talmid happened to be a Kohen. So they asked the Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan had a student, Rabbi Peter. Peter asked Tom. Shal Rabbi Petas, Rabbi Natan. That how did he allow the Kohen to pour water on his hands? There is a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that says that Hamishtamish B'Kohen Mo'al, that if you allow a Kohen to service you, it's a violation of Me'ilah. You're not allowed to. There are more quotes that at the end of Simen Kuf Chav Ches in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Nesias Kapayim, so the last Ramah in the Simen, he quotes this from the Talmud Yerushalmi, Hamishtamish B'Kohen Mo'al. So that's what they asked the Rabbeinu Tam, how was he allowed to do this? So Rabbeinu Tam said, the guy's not wearing big dekuna, it's okay. So he said, so if he's not a Kohen, so he's allowed to be Metamila Mesim and he can marry a Grusha? What do you mean he doesn't have a din of Kohen? So Rabbi Natan gave a different answer. He said, well, the fellow's Mechel on his Kohen. The Kohen is Mechel on his Kohen. So what did Rabbi Natan mean by the first answer? That Bizman Shein Megdeim Aleim Menken Osam Aleim Stakir. The Talmud has the good Kasha. Bizman Shein Begdeim Aleim is only a din with respect to Avodas HaKarbonos. That a Mechus of the Godim is Avodas HaMechulelis and Misa B'dei Shemayim because it's Dina Kizar. What does it have to do with HaMishtamish B'Koyim Moal? So Rav Soloveitchik said a biur, this is how it says, the Aruch HaShulchan and others suggest this pshat, that what the Rabbeinu Tam was saying was that there are two levels of Kedushas Kuna. There's a Kedushas Kuna Shebamigdosh and a Kedushas Kuna Shebigvulin. For the Kedushas Kuna Shebigvulin to be permitted to eat truma, or to be forbidden to be Metambil and Esam, or to be forbidden to marry all the Noshim HaAsuras, the Yisuri Kuna, Yisha Zayna V'Halola, Gusha, and so on, so that you don't need Big Day Kuna, even Mizman Shein Big Day Malayim. He has Kedushas Kuna Shebigvulin. But in order to be endowed with Kedushas Kuna Shebamigdosh, for that you have to have Bizman Shebigdei Malayim. So what's the relevance, what's the significance of Kedushas Kuna Shebamigdosh? And number one, with respect to HaKrovas HaKorbanos, if he only has a Kedushas Kuna Shebigvulin, if he's not wearing Big Day Kuna, he doesn't have this additional higher level of Kedushas Kuna Shebamigdosh, he can't be Makro Korbanos. And number two, Me'ilah, The Yerushalmi didn't say Osir Hishtamish Bekoin. The Yerushalmi says Hamishtamish Bekoin Moal. Why does he use the Lashon Me'ila? Me'ila means if you're Nenef and the Kachi Amigdosh, if you have Anor from something from the Beis Amigdosh. So that's what the Rabbi Natama understood, that the Isur of the Yerushalmi Hamishtamish Bekoin Moal only applies to Kedushas Kunesh Amigdosh. If he only has Kedushas Kunesh Bigvulan, if he is not wearing Big Bekune, so you can't say that there's a Din of Me'ila. The Talmud didn't appreciate the answer the Rabbi Natan said. So he asked him, so why is the kohen forbidden to marry a grusha? Why is the kohen forbidden to be metame l'meisim if he's not wearing big dikuna? The answer is that doesn't depend on grusha's kunesh b'amigdash. That depends on grusha's kunesh b'gvul. But Rabbi Natan saw that the Talmud didn't appreciate the answer, the original answer that he gave, which he thought was the correct answer. So he gave the oideshlan another answer. The fellow was meichel on his cover. That's a further discussion. Is that correct or not? The second answer, Rabbi Natan, should we accept that answer? And whenever the Kohen is masking, so we permit him to service the non-Kohen. There's no issue. That's a discussion. The din, Amechusah B'Godim, let's say a Kohen Godol is only needed on Yom Kippur to do the Avodah. All year long you don't really need a Kohen Godol. You never need a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah. And even with respect to the Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibah, the Pine Kohen Mashiach, that's described in Parshas Vayikra, and it says that the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah. So the Tosfos in Megillah quotes from the Toras Kohanim on that pasuk that it's not to be taken literally, that it's not necessary to have a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah, neither on Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibah, nor on the Par Kohen Mashiach. The only time, once a year, you need a Kohen Gadol is for the Avodah Yom Kippur. All year long you don't need. So what if a Kohen Gadol wants to do the Avodah today? You don't really need a Kohen Gadol. So let's say he'll wear Avodah B'Godim instead of wearing Shemoneh B'Godim. So the Gemara says that it's Avodos Mechulelos. On his Madrega, if he's supposed to be a Kohen Gadol, he's only wearing Big Day Kohen Hedyot, he's called a Mechusah B'Godim. And the Avodah will be Mechulelos. It doesn't matter the fact that you don't even need a Kohen Gadol. If he's a Kohen Gadol, he has to wear Big Day Kohen Gadol. So that's the Gemara it has in Zvachim, the end of Sanhedrin. The Gemara has that din. And the Chusa Begodim is Dina Kizar. And the Yuta Begodim is also no good. The Gemara in the second parak in Zvachim has all the dinim. And the Yuta Begodim is also no good. They say that the Chafetz Chaim, towards the end of it, he lived very long. I think in the New York Times, they showed me the obituary from the time, not the original, they showed me a Xerox copy of the obituary. So when they wrote up the death of the Chafetz Chaim, they wrote that the sage died at the age of 105. So I think that's a little exaggerated. He wasn't 105. He was pretty old, but he wasn't 105. He was close to 100, I think. He was very old. So towards the end of his life, he couldn't see well. He had difficulty seeing. So they wanted to get him a pair of glasses. He should be able to see. So he refused to. He said he hopes that maybe he'll be zechah to be mekabel pnei Moshiach tzekeinu. Zecher to be makav karbonis on the base on Migdosh, and if they wear glasses, he was choshes that may be miyut of God. It may be that you're supposed to wear a big dekuna, and you're not allowed to wear any extra garden, so he was afraid that maybe the glasses would be a pchina of miyut of God. Then Itziv writes in one of his svarim that he thinks it's a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam regarding the din of miyut of God. Rashi learns the Gemara Beferish in the beginning of the second parak in Zvachim. That if the Kohen wears any extra beged, it's a problem, it's an issue of miyut of God. Let's say the Kohen has a band-aid. The Gemara talks about band-aids. So the Kohen wears a band-aid, so Rashi says it'll sometimes be a problem of miyut of God. And then he points out that he gets the distinct impression from the Rambam that the din of miyut of God only applies if he's wearing an extra one of the big day kuhuna. He's wearing two mechnasayim, he's wearing two avneitim, he's wearing two mikbos. He has two yarmulkes, one on top of the other. Or two pairs of pants, one on top of the other, a big dekuna. But if he wears a different beged, not from the big dekuna, he doesn't think that would constitute a problem of miyut of begadim. It will just be an issue of chatzitza. That's the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak in Zvachim. When the kohanim wear the big dekuna, it says in the Chumash, the begadim have to be touching their bodies. So if they have a chatzitza, if they wear underwear and then wear the big dekuna on top of it, that'll be a chatzitza. So they weren't permitted to wear underwear when they were wearing the big dekuna, because that would constitute a chatzitza. But if the kohen will wear an extra beged, which will not be a chatzitza between the big dekuna and his body, it'll be on another part of the body, and it won't be a chatzitza with the kli. When he holds on to the kli sharis, the Gemara learns out from Pesukim Mosa, you don't permit any chatzitza between the hands of the kohen and the kli with which he's going to do the avodah. If there's no issue of chatzitza, just an issue of miyut of gadim, so the Netziv gets the impression from the Rambam that he doesn't agree with Rashi, that there wouldn't be a din of miyut of gadim unless he's wearing an extra beged from the big dikun. Anyway, but Rashi says not so. Rashi holds that the miyut of gadim is any beged will be a miyut of gadim. Shabbos is called a beged. A beged means made from cloth. A pair of glass is also miyut of gadim. It's chiddush, but they say over from the Chafetz Chaim that he didn't want to wear glasses. He was concerned that maybe a din of miyut of gadim.
Is that sort of
one that's very old also? Is it really too old to do that? Yeah, Gmar has a din if you're too old. We don't allow you to do it. Yeah, he was an old man already. It wasn't shaykh anyway. For sure, some of the big dekuna had shatnas in them. Nonetheless, that's the halacha, that you're permitted and obligated to wear the shatnas under these circumstances. There is a famous dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid. It's really two opinions in Taisus regarding the wearing of the shatnas and the big dekuna. So the Rambam writes that the Kohen Hedyo, who wears the Abod Godim, the only garment that had shatnas was the Avnate. So the Kohen Hedyo, the minute he finishes doing the Avod, has to remove the Avnate right away, in order not to continue wearing the shatnas. The shatnas is only muta b'shas avoda, and shlo b'shas avoda there's no muta. How is he allowed to wear the big dekuna shlo b'shas avoda? Why isn't that moil behekdish? The big dekuna all have kedusha on them. So how is he permitted? The avnate has an additional issue, additional problem of shatnas. What's with the big dekuna themselves? He's wearing big dekuna that has kedusha, so he's nene from the. Menachodesh by wearing big dekuna. Why isn't that a problem of Ne'ilah behegdish? The Gemara raises that issue. The Gemara Maseches Tomid and Maseches Yuma, the same sugi appears both places. The Gemara says that's okay. So the Gemara has an expression, Lo nitna Torah l'malachei ha'shores. It's understood that you can't expect the Kohen to be so precise that the moment they finish the Avodah, they're going to run to a chamber on the side and remove the big dekuna. So the Gemara says, Melechatchila, when they were magdish, the big dekuna. So there was like a built-in clause that it should only be Kodesh when it has to be Kodesh. The minute they finished Avodah, so there shouldn't be a violation of Mila Behegdish. What kind of clause is that? How can you make such a clause? It's a problem in the Gemara. What does it mean? But somehow the Gemara says that solves the issue of Moyel Behegdish. So Nitna Torah L'Malachi Ashar is that svar, that argument, removes the prohibition of Me'ilah from the Big Day Kodesh, the Big Day Kuna, so they may wear the Big Day Kuna even after they finish doing the Avodah. But the issue is regarding the Avnate. So the Rambam's opinion is like that one day in Tarsus, that they had to take off the Avnate the moment they finished the Avodah. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and he says that it's not correct, that they're permitted to wear the Big Day Kuna as long as they want. They can continue wearing the Shatnas as long as they want. It's interesting, the Rambam is mashma that the problem, very mashma, lehedya, that the problem, he doesn't say it explicitly, but it came out explicitly, the issue is only a kohen hedya who wears the avne. What about a kohen gadol? The big dekun of the kohen gadol, several of them have shatnas, so why is he only concerned about the kohen hedya, not concerned about the kohen gadol? So this is a famous, the Ravid asked Akash, why did the Rambam only worry about the kohen hedya, why isn't he worried about the kohen gadol? So it's mashma b'feirish from the Rambam in another place, the last Rambam in Hilchos Kilayim, is mashma that the Kohen Gadol may wear all day long, he may wear the shatnas. That's the Shaila why. So the Beis HaLevi has his suggestion, and others give other suggestions. Beis HaLevi has in the Shaila Satshuvas, in the first volume, he has a famous suggestion. The Pasuk says that the purpose of the tzitz, the Kohen Gadol wears Shemayin of Gadim. So one of the eight begadim is not really a garment, it's a piece of jewelry. The tzitz is gold. It doesn't have any clothing at all. There's no cloth. It's a tachshit. So the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz. What's the function of the tzitz? So the Pasuk says, Hoy amitzchai l'ratzon. The tzitz is, what do you mean, l'ratzon? The nirtza lo l'chaper olov. The Chumash has a lot of time, v'nirtzo lo l'chaper olav. What do you mean, v'nirtzo lo? Ritzu is an expression that's 99% of the time is used in conjunction with hakrovas hakarbonis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the karbonis that we offer to him. V'nirtzo lo l'chaper olav. So here the Pasuk says, v'hay amitcha tamid l'rotzen lahem l'fnei Hashem. The Pasuk says that the wearing of the tzitz on the part of the Kohen Gadol is meratze on the karbonis, makes the karbonis kosher. What do you mean makes the karbonis kosher? Bring a carbon. The carbon is kosher. What do you need a tzitz for? So the answer is, the Gemara has a whole discussion in Yuma. So the first paragraph of Yuma, the beginning, so the Gemara explains what it means is that if a korban would be offered in the state of Tuma, so the korban will be pasul, and you have to repeat it. So what if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz? So from this pasuk we derive that if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz is the ratza, and the korban will be kosher. B'diyevet, l'chatchili, not supposed to do it, not supposed to rely on the fact that the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz. It's an issur to be makor korbanos in the state of Tumah. We're not talking about korban tziva that's mutter, and it's the korban tziva is mutter b'tumah. We're talking about korban yochid, shein zman kavua, that you were not supposed to offer in a state of Tumah. But b'diyevet, if you did bring it, it should be possible even b'diyevet. So if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, then it's good. The tzitz is meratza on Tumah. How do you know it's meratza on Tumah? Maybe it's meratza on pigol, on noiser, on something else. So the Gemara has a long discussion. By a process of elimination, they figured out this pshat in the pasuk that the tzitz is meratze on the psul of tumah. So the Gemara in the beginning of Yuma has a machlekes hatan davar on the day. The Gemara has a machlekes of Shimon and Reb Yudah, who both lived after the churban by Shem. They were never there. So there's a machlekes hatanayim. The tzitz is meratze v'hoy al mitzcha tamid liratzan lahem lefnei Hashem. How are you supposed to read the pasuk? The Kohen Gadol should always wear the tzitz, because the wearing of the tzitz is l'ratza ham lefnei Hashem. Kozman he wears the tzitz. Odei al mitzcha meratza, ein odei al mitzcha ein meratza. If he's not wearing the tzitz, it's not meratza. So he better wear the tzitz all day and all night. He has to go to sleep. Okay, but as long as he can, he should wear the tzitz in order to be machshir all the karbanos that may possibly be offered in a state of tumah. Or should we read the pasuk differently? V'hoy al mitzcha semicolon. Tamid l'ratzon lahem lefnei Hashem, that the tzitz is meratzi even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz. So that's a machlekes hatanaim, Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon. Where do you pause? Why on mitzchay tamid semicolon? You should always wear the tzitz, because wearing of the tzitz is meratze. Ein on mitzchay ein meratze. Or no, the existence of the tzitz, to the exclusion of the case where the tzitz nishba tzitz, if it's broken, if there is no tzitz in existence, if nishba tzitz, then the korban. So when will the carbon be possible if it's brought in a state of tumah? Nishbar tzitz. But if the tzitz is in existence, so the tzitz is meratz even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. That's the shaila. If you say the tzitz is only meratz if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, I mean, Kohen Gadol was wearing the tzitz when? Kohen Gadol was wearing the tzitz yesterday. And then today somebody brings a carbon in a state of tumah. So what good is that? It means the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz at the time that the issue comes up. Then the tzitz is meratza. What does that mean? Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz at the time, exactly which time? Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz when what happened? So Rashi writes on the Gemara Yuma in the first paragraph, not Gemara, Davav, Davzayin. So Rashi writes that the Kohen Gadol was wearing the tzitz at the time that the korban became tameh. So the Shagasari has a sefer on Yuma where he always disagrees with everything Rashi and Taisus say. Yeah, so it's a sefer on Tainus, Mamish, on Maseches Tainus. Every time Rashi and Taisus add on one word, more than what it says in the Gemara, he jumps on them like a lion. Shagasai is a lion. He jumps like a lion. He disagrees with everything Rashi and Taisus add. Yuma is a little less. Yuma is a little less. He lets him, once in a while, he lets him get away with something. So he attacks this Rashi, and he's really a fellow. What does Rashi say? The Kohen Gadol was wearing the tzitz at the time that the korban became nitman? No, at the time that they were makir of the korban. Let's say the korban became nitman at 11 o'clock. And then there were makrib, there was Zerk the Dam on his bath at 11:15. The Kohen Gadol happened to go to the bathroom then, and he took off the tzitz. Took off the big day kuna from 11:10 till 11:20. There were makrib, the carbon in the state of tumah at 11:15, when the Kohen Gadol was not wearing the tzitz. But the Dam became nitma at 11 o'clock, but the Kohen Gadol was wearing the tzitz. So why does Rashi say, if the Kohen Gadol was wearing the tzitz at the time that the Dam became nitma? What do I care if the Dam became nitma? It should depend on the time that the coin was makrivit under his bayah. So that's what the Shagasari doesn't understand Rashi. Anyway, that's a machlokes satanoim. Whether the tzitz is only meratza when the Kohen Gadol is wearing it, or the tzitz is even meratza when he's not wearing it. So the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Kiddushin on Daf Samach Vov. The Gemara says that Yaneh HaMelech was a meshugana, he was a lunatic, he was killing non-Jews, killing Jews, killing rabbis, killing laymen. It's not meshugana. So this Yana HaMelech, he just didn't kill his brother-in-law, Shinim and Shevtach. He was nice to him, he didn't kill him. But all the other rabbis he killed. So this Yana HaMelech decided he was a Kohen. He decided one fine day he's going to make himself the Kohen Gadol. So he was Makar Karbonus on the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara tells the story he was wearing the tzitz. They told him, put on the tzitz. So the Rishonim quote to Rabbeinu Tam there, not Gemara. What did he tell him to wear the tzitz? What about the other big day kohen? So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the tzitz you got to wear all day long, because the Tana says in the Gemara, it's only meratzah when he's wearing it. Odei al mitzcha meratzah. Ein odei al mitzcha. Ein meratzah. So the tzitz he has to wear all day long. The other seven big day kohen gedol he doesn't have to wear. So Rabbeinu Tam clearly states that the tzitz is meratzah without the other big day kohen. Something is to be gained by wearing the tzitz alone without the other seven big day kohen, namely that the tzitz would be meratzah. So the Beis HaLevi does not agree with Rabbeinu Tam. Beis HaLevi was Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, the father of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. So he doesn't agree with Rabbeinu Tam. He thinks that he's not right. According to the Tana, whose opinion is accepted, that the tzitz is only meratzah when he's wearing the tzitz, he has to be wearing the tzitz together with all the other seven big day kohen gedolim. It's a mechus of the godim. He was a Kayin, but the Gemara tells the story. That's what we were learning in the Tosfos from later. His mother was a Shvuya, so Shvuya is Psula the Kunim the Rabbanon. But the Gemara tells the story, so there was insufficient evidence to declare that she was a Shvuya. And nonetheless, they passed the son from serving as a Kohen of Beis HaMikdash, but that's when he got angry and killed all the rabbis. How can you passel me if you don't have sufficient evidence? And the Gemara goes through the whole discussion. What does it mean? By Bukash Adavah, like insufficient. Gemara says, Trey, and so on. The whole story. So the Beis HaLevi, I thought you were asking whether the Beis HaLevi was a Kohen. No, Yanai was a Kohen. Beis HaLevi was a Levi. Yeah, say it's Beis HaLevi. Soloveitchik, Soloveitchik. So the Beis HaLevi thinks in his sefer that Rabbeinu Tam is not right. He thinks that the Tana that you have to be, Kangaroo has to be wearing the tzitz in order to be meratze, alatumo, it doesn't mean the tzitz alone. Nothing, absolutely nothing is to be gained by just wearing the tzitz alone. You have to wear all the shmein of the godim. So he thinks that that's the bira in the Rambam. Why does the Rambam permit the Kangaroo to wear shatnez all day long? So he says, because it's necessary. If he's only going to wear the tzitz, he's not going to wear the other seven of the godim, so it won't be meratze. And you can never tell any moment of the day. Maybe there'll be a psul tumah. So we need the Kohen Gadol to wear the shmoyin of Godim all day long in order to be meratzeh ala tumas. That's the suggestion of the Beis HaLevi. Now, Soloveitchik used to say differently. It's not necessary to say that the significance of the Kohen Gadol wearing the shmoyin of Godim all day long is in order to be meratzeh ala karbonis. Even if one would adopt the position of the Rabbeinu Tam, that the tzitz is meratzah without the other seven begodim, you can still argue the point and say that there's still a mitzvah for the Kohen Gadol to wear shmoyin begodim all day long. The Kohen Hegyot, the only function, the only purpose of wearing the abod begodim is to enable him to do avodah. Once he finished doing the avodah, he doesn't plan to do any more avodah. He's supposed to take off the avnet that has the line, because the heter is only... The heter to wear the avnet with the kelayim is only when there's a mitzvah of wearing big dekuna. The mitzvah is only when he's doing avodah. When he finished avodah, no more mitzvah. On the other hand, the mitzvah of the Kohen Gadol to wear the shmeinim gadim, that's not only when he's doing avodah. Then Rambam writes in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, you appoint the Kohen Gadol, and kvodah the sefrata of the Kohen Gadol is that he should stand at the Beis HaMikdash all day long with the big dekuna. That's his mitzvah, is to wear shmeinim gadim not only for the purpose of being makar of kabbanis. He should be in the Beis HaMikdash. He's part of the furniture in the Beis HaMikdash. He's a fixture there. You have to have a Kohen Gadol. You don't need a Kohen Hegyot in the Beis HaMikdash unless he's going to do Avodah. If he's not doing Avodah, you don't need any Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. But a Kohen Gadol you do need in the Beis HaMikdash. He's part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the Rambam has the dinim of the Kohen Gadol in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. It's like you need a Shulchan and a Menorah and a Mizbeach and a Kiyor and so on, and you need walls, so do you need a Kohen Gadol? He has to be there in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the mitzvah the Kohen Gadol should always wear, should be in the Beis HaMikdash all the time, with his uniform, with his outfit, with the Shemayin of Gadol all day long. That's the mitzvah. Mitzvah said to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. The Rambam has there is a din later in Chumash. A Kohen Hegyot is not, Kohanim are not permitted to be Metamel HaMesim, unless it's one of the seven relatives. But then the pasuk says, so then the Kohen is permitted and obligated to be mitami to the mace. A Kohen Gadol is not permitted even to be mitami to the seven relatives. He's only permitted and obligated to be mitami in the case of a mace mitzvah. Mace mitzvah means no one else is around Kore lacherim, and the einam boyim. He tries to get other people to come to take care of the mace, and no one is around. So that's a mace mitzvah. So a nazir or a kain gadol are not permitted to the nekama, even to the seven relatives. And the only exception to the rule they have is that they're permitted and obligated to be mitami to a mace mitzvah. So the pasuk says, if a regular kohen loses a relative, so he's obligated lo yitam. He's in the Beis Hamikdash, and they tell him that someone died in the family. So he has to finish the avodah and leave. He has to complete the avodah, and he has to leave and attend the funeral. Lo yitam is a mitzvah. The kain gadol, if they tell him that a relative died, he doesn't have a mitzvah, and he doesn't have. It's not even permissible to be mitami. So it says min hamikdash leyetze v'lo yechal es mikdash alakav. So one could have interpreted Mikdash Leyetze, it's not necessary for the kain gadol to leave. That's how the Rambam learns Pshutush on Mikra. Mikdash Leyetze, it's not necessary for the kain gadol to leave the Beis HaMikdash, because we learn out from Sukkim that the kain gadol is Makri Vainin Vein Oichaloinin. The kain gadol is permitted to be Makri Kabanis even when he is in a state of Aninus, before the Kura. The kain Hegel is not permitted to be Makri Kabanis, neither permitted to be Makri in a state of Aninus, nor permitted to eat in the state of Aninus. Because when you eat karbonis, it has to be in the state of simcha. So one is in the state of aninus, is not in the state of simcha. The original pasuk for aninus is says by Maisa Sheni, when you on the Pesach of the fourth year, and the Pesach of the seventh year, you have to do biur. You have to dispose of all the Maisa Sheni, whatever you happen to have around the house, Maisa Sheni, Truma Gedola, Maisa Rishon, Maisa Ren, you got to get rid of everything. And then you recite Vidri Maisa. And in the Vidri Maisa you say, I did not eat the Maisa Sheni in a state of Aninus. So the original Pasuk only says in connection with Maisa Sheni. And the Gemara points out that Aaron HaKoyin made a Kal V'Chomer. You look in Parsha Shmini, Aaron made a Kal V'Chomer that the Chumash recorded. Is it, if you're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni in the state of Aninus, Kal V'Chomer that you're not allowed to eat Korbanus in the state of Aninus? So originally Moshe Rabbeinu didn't think so. And then Aaron HaKoyin convinced him that this is correct, and then he was maskim. And this is recorded in the Chumash. My two sons just died today. I should be permitted to eat Achalti Chatas Hayom. Hayita V'Yeni Hashem. Does that make any sense? I'm allowed to eat Korbanos in the state of Aninus. It should be a Kal V'Chomer from Maisa Sheni. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu agreed. First he thought he was angry why Aaron didn't eat the Chatas. And when Aaron argued out the case, it's a Kal V'Chomer from Maisa Sheni, so he was masking. So Kal V'Chomer is not from the Torah Shebal Peh. So here the Torah Shebichsav records a chunk of Torah Shebal Peh. It's an interesting phenomenon. The Chumash records the Kal V'Chomer of Aaron, and that is the halacha now, because Moshe Rabbeinu was masking with the Kal V'Chomer. So that's the din. So the Pashim Shat in the Pasuk is, Min HaMikdash LeYetze, it's not necessary for the Kohen Gadol to leave the Beis HaMikdash, because he may be Makri V'Chomer. He's not allowed to eat in the state of Aninus, but he may be Makri V'Chomer. The Kohen had Yod is not allowed to be makriv oinin. He is not allowed to be yochel oinin. A kain gadol all year long, the Gemara has a lashon. A kain gadol all year long is ki yisrael beregel dami, that the kain gadol all year long has to be in the Beis HaMikdash, and he's always in a state of simcha. He's not really in a state of sadness. And even if a relative dies, he's not metami to the relatives. Well, why is he not metami to the relatives? It means he doesn't observe avelus over the relatives. And the kain gadol is always supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash, always in a state of simcha. So he's permitted to be makriv in the state of aninus, and the karbonis will not be possible. He's that we don't allow him though to eat in the state of aninus. Kain gadol is makriv in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ramban writes on Chumash, that's the Pashup Shat. Min HaMikdash LeYetze means it's not necessary for the kain gadol to leave the Beis HaMikdash. He may remain there. V'lo yechalos mikdash alakav. He can remain and be makriv karbonis all day long, even though adayin lo nikbar meis, and the karbonis will not be mechulo. The karbonis will be kosher because the kain gadol is makrivainin and the karbonis are kosher. The Rambam learns not so. The Rambam learns pshat min hamikdash leyetze is a prohibition that the kain gadol is not allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash, and he writes in the Sefer Mitzvah that this pasuk is really a repeat of a pasuk that says regarding the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. It says the last 7 days of the month of Adar, when they put together the Mishkan, every day they put it up, and Moshe Rabbeinu put it up, and took it apart every day for the last 7 days of Chodesh Adar, and then Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the Shmini L'Miluim, and the first 12 days of Chodesh Nisan, each one of the Nisim brought a different carbon, the Chanukah Samizbeach, the Chanukah Samishkan. So it says that during the 7 days, the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, Aaron and Avonav have to sit Pesach Al Moed, and they weren't permitted to walk away. The Pesach HaMoel says to Shivas Yamim Laila Bayom. They had to go to the bathroom, they went. They had to go eat a meal, they went. But they were supposed to stay whenever, to the extent that it was possible. They had to sit in front of Oil Moed for all the 7 days. So the Rambam writes that this pasuk that says regarding the Kangadol, when Amigdash Lo Yetze, is basically a repeat of the other pasuk. That's a Hayrah Shor. This din is a din Ladaris, man Amigdash Lo Yetze. That's the Kangadol throughout all the generations. And the other pasuk that says the Shivas Imam Iluim, Shivas Imam Iluim is only once in the history of the world, when they made the Mishkan the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar. So that pasuk that says Umi Pesachom, Pesach on my teshu, Shivas Yamim Laila Bayom, that Hayra Shah is the same as this pasuk. Min Amigdash Lo Yetze. How is that the same? So the Rambam explains. The Rambam explains that the two psukim together add up to a third rule. The basic rule, the overriding rule is a Kohen who's in the middle of an Avodah is not allowed to leave the Beis Hamikdash. Now let's say he's in the middle of Zrikas Adam of a Chatos or something. He has Dalet Zrikas. So he's tired. So he'll give the cup of Dam to another Kohen and says, you take over. I'm tired. I'm going home. And he leaves. Because it's time for his football game on the TV or whatever. It's time for Musa Shmuz in the Beis Medrash. Ashiya, Pilpul Shia. He says, I had enough today. I'm leaving. So the Rambam says that's what's prohibited. A Kohen should leave the Avodah in the middle for whatever purpose. That's the basic prohibition. The Chumash writes it in two places, they repeat in unusual forms. The Chumash writes it, these last 7 days, Yeshivas Me'am Iluim, it was considered an Avodah, even though they weren't doing any, there was no Kabbalah, Shechita, Halacha, they weren't doing any Avodahs or Kabbalahs. Pesach HaMoed Teishu, Yeshivas Yom, and Laila Bayom, to sit there, that was their Avodah. At that time, that was a Hirosha, that was the Avodah to sit there. So it says, they're not allowed to leave because that's considered leaving b'emtza avodah. That was a hayra shor that that's called an avodah, but the din that you're not allowed to leave in the middle of an avodah, that's a din l'doris. So the Rambam writes, and here the din is repeated again, that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to leave the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, Amigdash lo yetze, not like the Ramban says, it's not necessary for the Kohen Gadol to leave because he won't be mechalel avodah, because the Kohen Gadol is makrivayinim. That's where the Gemara has that, so the Ramban says that's an additional level. The Ramban holds that, again, Ramban holds that that's the Pshutu Shal Mikra. I mean, Amigdash lo yetze, it's not necessary for the Kohen Gadol to leave. V'lo yechalas Migdash al kav, he won't pass the Karbanos because he's makrivayinim. So the Ramban says that's Pshutu Shal Mikra. So the Rambam says, no, that the Gemara says that pshat, that's an additional level of interpretation. What's the pashup pshat in that pasuk? So the Rambam says, the pashup pshat is ma'amigdash liyetze, the Kohen Gadol is not permitted to leave the Beis Hamikdash, because if he leaves in the middle, lay chalav, smigdash alakav, that's, he's mevazah the karbonis. Why is he mevazah? Because the Kohen Gadol is considered all year long, all day long, not a hayra ashur, adil adaris is considered as if the Kohen Gadol all the time is in the state of being makrav karbonis. Even though he's not doing anything. He only has to be makor kabbonis on Yom Kippur. But that's the halacha. That's why the Kohen Gadol has to wear the Shemayna Begadim all day long. Kohen Hagid is only has to wear the big dekuna when he's doing hakravas hakabbonis. The Kohen Gadol is considered as if he's doing karbonis all day long, 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. Whenever he's awake, he's supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash wearing the big dekuna. Just his presence in the Beis HaMikdash constitutes an avodah. So that's what the Rambam understands. Min Amigdash lo yetze, he's not permitted, never allowed to leave the Beis Hamikdash in the middle of the day. Well, lo yechalas migdash olakav. If he's going to leave the Beis Hamikdash, it's considered like leaving b'emtza avodah. So these two psukim, the Rambam says, are really a repeat. That Shivas Yimei Miluim, all the five Kohanim, Aaron and the four sons, were not allowed to leave Pesach Ol Moed. That was a Hayra Shor. That was a quirk of Allah. That was a Hayra Shor that sitting Pesach Ol Moed was called an avodah. The Kohen Gadol, it's also an unusual din, that just standing in the Beis HaMikdash all day long constitutes an avoid on behalf of on the part of the Kohen Gadol. He's supposed to officially be supervising all the HaKrovos HaKrovos, even though he doesn't do anything all year long. He's supposed to be officially in charge of the Beis HaMikdash. And from these two psukim put together, we derive the basic principle that if a Kohen is really doing an avoid, he's not allowed to leave in the middle of the avoid, because that constitutes a design to the Kedusha. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. You don't have to say like the Beis Halevi that he has to wear the Shemayna Begadim because they're all Ma'akim Zeh Zeh and the Tzitzit needed to be Meratzeh. Such a complicated... No, without that. even if the Rabbeinu Tam would be right, that the tzitz is meratzeh the tzitz alone, without the other seven gorim. But it's still a mitzvah on the part of the Kohen Gadol to wear the Shemoneh Bgorim all day long, because all day long is considered as if he's doing Avodah. That's what you see from the Rambam and the Rav Soloveitchik. You didn't mention that Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos, but that's what the Rambam said. It says the Feirush like that. The Kohen Gadol all day long, 7 days a week and 354 days a year, whatever it happens to be, is considered as if he's doing his Avodah by just being in the Beis HaMikdash and supervising the Hakrovas, Hakrobonos. The pasuk says that the tzitz had written on it kodesh la Hashem, lamed yud kei vav kei kodesh la Hashem. Ufitacht ala betucha choisim kodesh la Hashem. The Gemara in the beginning of Sukkah quotes a dispute among the Tanoim. The Tanoim lived after the Churban Habayis, so they most of them never saw the tzitz. The Gemara says one of them did see the tzitz. One of them went to Rome, and he happened by a whole coincidence of a combination of coincidences. He cured the daughter of the emperor, who happened to be sick. And then the emperor was so appreciative, the Gemara Meila tells a story. So he said, I'll take you into the... He took him in the Vatican. So he said, I'll take you into the treasury, and you can take whatever you want out of Hakaras HaTov. So he went in, and it says he saw the parochas, because they had taken a lot of things from the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, they took it to the Vatican, to Rome with them. So he saw the parochas, and the parochas had a couple of drops of blood on it. Not supposed to have any blood on it, because when the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood in front of the parochas, he's supposed to sprinkle in front of, not on it. But they would miss sometimes, and they would be careful. So they had blood stains on the parochas, and then he says that he saw the... they probably took the menorah with them also, because that's the arch of Titus, has the menorah. So somebody had the menorah there too. The Moja says he saw the parochas with the drops of blood, and he saw the tzitz that said Kodesh Lashem on it. He wasn't interested in taking any of these things. He only took... He was looking long enough till he found the edict, the Gzera, the Malchus had made a Gzera Ro against the Jews, so he said, that's what he wants. And he ripped it up. So then, because he ripped up the edict, so the Gzera, so the emperor had to abolish that. So they didn't persecute the Jews for one day. They let them observe the Jewish religion for a week or two, and then they made a new edict against the Jews. So the Gemara says that that Tana who saw the tzitz in person says that his Kodesh Lashem was on one line. So Yagi is with the other Tana. How can you tell me one Tana said they all lived after the Churban Habayis? So most of them didn't see the tzitz. Only this one who was in Rome and he was taken into the treasure house. So he says that he saw the tzitz and it was on one line. The other Tana had a machlekes and they say that it was Kodesh La Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei was on a higher line. It read from right to left. That's from right to left, but it wasn't all on one line. Kodesh is tat chasa, kuf dalachin, that's that says in the Chumash, kuf dalachin, space, lamet, la, and then the yud kei vav kei was on an upper line. That's what one Tana says. And the other Tana says, no, ani reisi, ani hirisi beromi, bereisi, and it's all on one line. So the Rambam paskin that it's on two lines. So because the Mishnah asks on the side of the Rambam, how can he paskin on two lines? It's against archaeological evidence. The Tana says he was there and he saw the tzitz. So the Kesa Mishnah says, look here, every Kohen Gadol had to make a different tzitz because they had to fit his forehead. Some Kohanim Gedolim had a big head, some had a little head. So they made a different tzitz. So just because they found one tzitz that was Kodesh Lashem on one line doesn't necessarily mean that they were always like that. So the Rambam holds, based on the Kalali Hapsak, that we pass them like the other Tana. And one time during the period of Bais Sheni, they made it the wrong way. Sure. In that generation, maybe the Rabbanim held that it should be on one line. But the Ludairis, we don't pass it like that. We pass it that it should be on two lines. Interesting? Interesting. That's always a question. When you find some archaeological discovery, you find a mikveh from the Isiyu. And the mikveh had these dimensions. But does that necessarily mean that that's the halacha? The Isiyu did not follow the Piske halacha of the Rabbanim, of the Tanakh. So maybe that's the way they made a mikveh. Maybe if the Rabbanim would have made a mikveh, it would have been the Chazon Ish Yeshiva. The mikveh that they found are not the Chazon Ish Yeshiva. But they were not from Orthodox, the Isiyim were not Orthodox people. They're not observant people. So maybe the observant people would have made a mikveh like the Chazon Ish. Maybe yeah, maybe no. You can never tell. They found tefillin. They quote from the Rishon, they found tefillin in Kevi, Yecheskel HaNavi, they found tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. So it's a riot that from the days of Yecheskel HaNavi, there was tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. So So the other Rishonim say, maybe those were possible at Tfilin, so they put them in Geniza. How do you know what you found over there? How do you know whether they're kosher or possible? If they would find 1,000 pairs of Tfilin in 1,000 different places in Eretz Yisrael, all like that Abinatam, so that would be a good Achachitam. One pair of Tfilin, and Kevi Cheskarana, maybe it was possible. How do you know that it's kosher? Like over here, Kodesh Lashem, maybe the Tzitz was possible. The Tzitz, it says, is supposed to be V'hoya al Mitzchei Tamin. The Ratzahan of Hashem, the Metzach, Alpi Pashtus means over here. The Metzach is the forehead in modern Hebrew. The Targum Onkelos writes, Al Mitzcha Bein Einohi. We're not too sure what that means, Bein Einohi. So the Taisus in Sukkah and Taisus in Yuma raises the possibility. Maybe Bein Einohi in the Targum language is the same as what it says by Tfilin. Maybe it means the same as by tefillin. So maybe by tefillin, we don't put the tefillin over here. We don't put the tefillin over here. You're not getting to the tefillin means on the here. But makom seyar in the center, mechuvin keneged the bein ha'inai. So that's two opinions in Tosis. One opinion in Tosis is that the tzitz was not on the forehead of the kohen gadol. The tzitz was on the makom seyar of the kohen gadol, because the expression bein ha'inai that's used by the Targum Onkelos probably has the same meaning as Bein Einecho in connection with the Tefillin Shel Rosh. So that leads Taisus, that's 2 days in Taisus. So that leads Taisus to suggest a Chiddush, that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim Hagiotim shared certain Begadim in common. So one of the Begadim they had this was the same, was they everyone had to wear a yarmulke. But sometimes it's referred to as a Mitznefes, and sometimes it's referred to as a mikvas. By the Kohen Hedyot it's called the mikvas, and by the Kohen Gadol it's called the mitznefes. Is there a difference? So there are 2 days in Taisus. So one day is the same thing. Mikvas and mitznefes is the same thing. And the other day is, no, it can't be the same thing. Because the Kohen Gadol has to wear the tzitz over here, and he wore tefillin. So the Gemara says, tzaira hayanira bein tzitz limitznefes, shesham hayamenech tefillin. There was a little space where the hair was growing, hair of the kangaroo was growing. In between, this little space was in between the tzitz. The tzitz was somewhere further down, and the mitznefes was further up, and the tulum was in between. So according to this opinion in Taisus, that the tzitz has to be b'makom seyar, and the Gemara says it's two etzbois wide. So the tzitz is b'makom seyar. Then he had tulum, which is also, Taisus says, a smaller size tulum. It's two etzbois, two thumb widths. So the first two etzbois above the hairline where the tzitz, the next two etzbois were the tefillin, so the mitznefes begins after the tefillin, because you can't allow a chatzitza, you can't put the mitznefes on top of the tefillin, on top of the tzitz. So it would constitute a chatzitza. So the mitznefes had to be smaller. The Kohen Gadol's yarmulke was smaller. And the Kohen had, the more holy you are, so the tinier your yarmulke becomes. It's a symbol of a greater level of Kedusha. The one who wears the smaller yarmulke has a higher level of Kedusha. The Kohen Hedyot doesn't wear a tzitz, so he only has the Kohen Hedyot wears his tefillin, and right up behind the tefillin he wears a mikvas, and the mikvas was bigger. That's what Taisus has one suggestion. The mikvas of the Kohen Hedyot was a larger size yarmulke than the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol. If one should assume this premise that the tzitz was on the makom aseir, and so Taisus is not too sure about that. They for sure lived after the churban bayis sheni, and they never even visited in Rome, so they never none of the Baalei Taisus ever saw it. The Tanoim had this machlokes. How do you read the pasuk v'hoyu al mitzcho tamid l'ratzon l'am l'fnei Hashem? How do you translate the word tamid? So one time they read v'hoyu al mitzcho semicolon tamid l'ratzon l'am l'fnei Hashem. The tzitz is meratzah even if he's not wearing it. So tamid goes on the next phrase in the pasuk. But if you say it's only meratzah when he's wearing the tzitz, and tamid doesn't go together with tamid l'ratzon l'am l'fnei Hashem, always meratzah. He said, "V'hoy amitzcha tamid semicolon l'ratzon l'fnei Hashem." So what does that mean? V'hoy amitzcha tamid. You should wear it all day long. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. You should wear it all day long. That was that Rabbeinu Tam that we mentioned before, to be meratza all the time. But the Gemara does not say like that. The Gemara in the first Perek in Yuma says, according to the Tanur who reads it together, "V'hoy amitzcha tamid," the word tamid means that he shouldn't be mesiach das from the tzitz. The whole time the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, he's He's not allowed to be Mesiach Tzaras because it has the Shem Hashem Kodesh Hashem on the outside. So he should always act properly. He shouldn't have Sicha Detela and so on the whole day long while he's wearing the tzitz. He should always be aware. He should always be conscious and aware of the fact that he's wearing the tzitz on his head. And the Gemara says, if there is such a requirement that the Kohen Gadol, even though the tzitz only has Shem Hashem appearing once, certainly more so the tefillin, that when you put together the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, the Shem Hashem appears, yud kei vav kei appears 42 times. That's what the Rambam writes. But it appears he added it up. And the shel yad it appears 21 times, and the shel rosh is the same four parshas. It appears 21 times, 21, 21 is 42. So the Shem Hashem appears 42 times. So it's a Gemara says a kal v'chomer that there's a prohibition to be Mesiach Das when a person wears tefillin. When one wears tefillin, he always has to act in a serious fashion, in accordance, keeping in mind the fact that he has tefillin on with the Shem Hashem. Some Rishonim say that there's a pircha on the kal v'chomer, that by the tzitz the Shem Hashem is megula, and by the tefillin the Shem Hashem is mechusa, it's covered over in the batin. So some Rishonim say that this kal v'chomer is not a real kal v'chomer menater, it's only a chumer mederabbanan. And others seem to be taking the Gemara literally. They understood not that it's a real din d'oraisa. Not just an asmachta midirabbanan. Not to be Mesiach Das while one is wearing the tefillin. The Kohen Gadol had to wear one of the Shemayim Begadim of the Kohen Gadol was the Choshen HaMishpat. And the Pasuk says you have to place into the Choshen HaMishpat, you have to put the 12 stones. Each stone has the name of each one of the Shvatim on it, the 12 Shvatim on it. Just like the two Kisvos HaEifot had two stones, and each of the stones had Shisha Mishmoz Malav and Achos, Veshmosh HaShishon HaSharim Malav HaRashanis, Gisold Osam. So they had six and six, the names of the Shvatim. So here, Menashe Ephraim counts one Shevet here, Shevet Yosef. So here, by the 12 Avnei HaEifot, ladies included, Menashe Ephraim counts as one as Yosef. So here there were 12 stones, each stone had the names of the Shvatim written on them. And the pasuk says, "Menasata el choshen hamishpat esa orim esa tumim." The Kohen Gadol should wear the urim and tumim inside. What is the urim and tumim? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Yuma, the end of Yuma, that it had a shem hamfoyrish written on a piece of parchment, and this was inside the choshen hamishpat. And because this was inside, this enabled the letters, the names of the shvatim have letters in them, kamat the whole alephay. So this enabled the letters to light up. This was, Urim Tumim was a high level, the highest level of Nevuah. That on different occasions they would consult the Urim Tumim when they wanted to know about going to war. The halacha requires when you want to wage Mechemes of Rishus, you have to consult the Urim Tumim. The Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, even when you want to do a Mechemes Mitzvah, and the Urim Tumim is not Likud, but there's still a mitzvah to consult the Urim Tumim. They ask, fine, it's a mitzvah, does it have to be done today? Maybe it makes more sense to wait till next year. Let's prepare a little more. Maybe it makes sense to wait 10 years. Who says you have to, the mitzvah of Rentnish, who says you have to do, or you want to ask, where? How should we wage the war? Should we attack the enemy from the north, or should we attack the enemy from the south? So they ask Urim Tumim these questions. So the Ramban says, even on the Mechemes Mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to consult with the Urim Tumim, whether now is a smart time to go to war, and how should we wage this war. But if you don't have an Urim Tumim, you can still go to do a Mechemes Mitzvah. Mechemes Rishus, the Gemara says in Shavuos, in the Sanhedrin, that's out of the question. Mechemes or Rishus, you can't wage a war. That's Rishus unless you have the approval of the Urim Tumim. So the Urim Tumim, the Psukim say in Ezra, the Urim Tumim didn't answer during the period of the Bai Sheni. They knew it wasn't going to work, so they didn't ask. When they saw that it's not working, so they stopped asking any questions. And that's why the Pasuk says that in the beginning of the Bai Sheni, they checked, we discussed it a month ago, they only allowed such kohanim to be makar kabbanis in the Beis HaMikdash who were kohanim miyuchasim, who could produce a ksav yichas. Whoever was only a kohanim chazokah, they didn't allow them to be makar kabbanis until it says, Aramot kohen l'urim v'latumim. Until a kohen will be able to ask the Urim Tumim, means that the Bai Sheni, they couldn't ask the Urim Tumim. They knew it wasn't going to answer. It was missing the Ruach HaKodesh. It was one of the things that was missing in the period of the Bai Sheni. The Gemara says at the end of the first parak in Yuma, there were five things that were missing in the Bai Sheni. Because the Pasuk says, the Eretz Abo Bi'ikovdo, the Navi Chagai says, I desire, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi, I desire that they should build the Beis HaMikdash for me, and I will be honored, the Ikavda, I will be honored by their building the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So the word the Ikavda is written in the Treyasa Chasahei. So Gemara says, why is it written the Ikavei, and you say the Ikavda? So read it the Ikavei. Spell it, the Ikavda. What's the Chachman behind spelling it Chaser and pronouncing it as if it would be Ikavda? So the Gemara says it's to teach you that the hay is missing. There were five things that were missing in the beginning of the Baal Shem. The Gemara lists off the five things. So Rabbi Kivegir on the side of the Gemara in the Masoras HaShas gives a cross reference to other midrashim, and the Fei Einayim in the back of the Gemara gives you more cross references to more. The Yerushalmi is another midrashim. So every midrash has a different version of which were the five things. So there were 25 things that were missing in the Baal Shem. There are a lot of things that were missing. So the main thing was that the Urim Tumim didn't answer. So that's what it says in the Pasuk in Ezra, that the Kohani Chazokah, who couldn't produce a Ksav Yichus, Nego Alumin HaKuhuna, they were rejected from the Kuhuna, and they won't be able, they and their descendants and their great-grandchildren won't be able to be Makor Kabbonis. Adamot Koyin Urim Tumim. When they'll have a Koyin, we'll be able to ask the Urim Tumim if this guy is a Koyin, a bona fide, authentic Koyin. So then they'll be able to be Makor Kabbonis, and the Bayis HaShlishi. So that's what Rashi writes on that Pasuk, Rashi quoting from the Gemara. That expression, Adamot Koyin Urim Tumim, is the same as saying in our language, Biz Moshiach Bet Kumim. Because they knew that the whole period of the Baal Shem, the Urim Tumim is not going to answer. So when you say, we have to wait till we consult the Urim Tumim, what do you mean, we have to wait till Moshiach comes, then the Urim Tumim will work. So there's a machlekes there, Rashi and Taisis, the end of the first parak in Yuma, not Gemara, and it's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid also. If the Urim Tumim didn't answer, so does it make sense that you have the Urim Tumim in the Chosha Mishpat? If it's not going to answer, so what do you have it for? So some of the Rishonim hold, you have to have the Urim Tumim in the Chosh Mishpat, otherwise it's a Mechusa B'Godim. That's an essential part of the Beged. The Kangadol has to wear Shemayin B'Godim. One of the Shemayin B'Godim is the Chosha Mishpat. And the Chosha Mishpat has to have an Urim Tumim. It doesn't answer, it's not plugged in. There's no juice from the electricity. This doesn't work, but still, that's part of the description of the big lekuna. And the other Rishonim say, no, the Chosha Mishpat is perfect without Urim Tumim. If you know in advance that he can answer, so you put in the Shem Amfoyrosh, and you can ask in the Vua. And if you know the whole period of the Baal Shem is not going to answer, so you don't have to bother to have any Urim Tumim placed inside. It's not Ma'akiv in the Beged. The Beged is Shalem without the Urim Tumim. That's a Machlekes Rashi and Taisvitz, and that Gemara at the end of the first Perek in Yuma. And that's Machlekes repeated later. The Rambam and the Rabbi, the same Machlekes. Whether the whole period of the Baal Shem, did they bother to put in the Urim Tumim or not? In Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Tefillin, they have a lot of dinim regarding Chatzitza. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Megillah says that the Shalyad may not be put on top of the sleeve. In the days of the Tanaim, apparently there were a lot of Karoyim, or there were Isim, or whatever other groups of Apikursim, Reform, that they had. So their practice would be that they put on the Tefillin on top of the sleeve. So the Mishnah says that one who wears Tefillin on top of the sleeve, that's not our tradition. We have halacha that you can't have any chatzitza. On the Shorosh, it never says in the Mishnah. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, machlekes Arishonim. Is there a din of chatzitza on Shorosh? You can't put a Shorosh on top of a shtraimel. That's out of the question. Some Rishonim hold if you put the Shorosh on top of a yarmulke and you can feel, and your head can, you can feel the fact that the Shorosh is there, that's good. But if you're going to have mamash, a big fur hat, and you don't even feel it, that for sure is no good. That's why there's a, the Beis Yosef quotes, there's a Yerushalmi, the Rabbi Yochanan was very weak. He was very good looking, they want to say, but he was very weak. So in the summertime he'd always get heat strokes, in the wintertime he'd always be getting sick. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says he rarely wore tefillin. He rarely wore tefillin shorosh, because if he would take off, in the summertime he would take off his hat just for half an hour to put on tefillin, he would get a sunstroke. And in the winter, I'd take off his hat to put on the tefillin, it would right away, he would get sick and he wouldn't be able to take it. Apparently, the shalyad didn't bother him. It was only sensitive on his head. So they say, but if it's, doesn't it indicate that there's an issue of chatzitza by shalrosh as well? Otherwise, why don't you just put the tefillin on top? So they say, no, even if you hold, there's no issue of chatzitza by shalrosh, but if you have to wear a fur hat to keep warm and you put the tefillin on top of that, that's l'chol hadeis, that's no good. it's only if you have a thin yarmulke, something like that, and the head can sense that there's a pair of tefillin on top. So that's a machlokes, and we're machma on that also. Could you put the tefillin on top of the mitznefes? Could be, I don't know. The Gemara says they didn't. The Gemara says Saira Hayanir Bain sits from Misnefesh Shisham Hayanir Tfilin. So the Gemara in Yuma quotes that they didn't put the tefillin on top of the Misnefesh. They put the separate spaces. But you're asking, what if they wanted to put on top? Maybe. Depends what how big was the Misnefesh. See, I call the Misnefesh a yarmulke. It wasn't like yarmulke. The Rama says it was a long turban that they wound around and around and around. The Rama says 32 amas long. 32 amas long. So they had to wind it around 25 times. It's going to be bigger than a shnaimo, the stump of the head, unless it was so thin, unless it was absolutely thin. Even so, you wind it around 25 times. So the stomach was probably the mitznefet or the mikvah. Must have been a very big thing. And the stomach, to put the tefillin on top, the head wouldn't even sense that there's any tefillin in it, perhaps. So the Shulchan Aruch has a lot of dinim of chatzitz regarding the tefillin shal yad and the halacha tefillin shal rosh. Also, we're machmir like those who shem. Mishnah Berurah passim like those who shem that you're not allowed to have chatzitz. The Rashba and the other who shem machlekes. When he learned Gemara, he always discussed. There's machlekes Rav Shmuel. There's machlekes the Rambam and the Rabbi. He didn't say what the din is. He learned Shulchan Aruch. So you see, the maskana is that there is a din of chatzitz and shal rosh. Just because Rav Soloveitchik mentioned that there's such an opinion and spent an hour and a half discussing that shita doesn't mean that that's the halacha. He always spent time. He spent a lot of time, days and days, discussing Beishamai Shita. The Gemara discusses Shita's Beishamai. We don't pass them like Beishamai. That's what the Gemara says. Eilu v'yelu divrei kimchaim. It constitutes a mitzvah Talmud Torah when you discuss Beishamai Shita. So it's a mitzvah Talmud Torah to discuss the opinions and the Rishonim that are not accepted la halacha also. But it doesn't mean just because he spent an hour and a half discussing that opinion that he holds that's la halacha. It's not la halacha like that. That's how people always misquote Rabbi Soloveitchik. Misquote the Rabbi Moshe Feinstein also. Rabbi Soloveitchik is not the only lucky winner. Everyone is misquoted. They take things out of context. He said at one time there is such an opinion. He didn't say that that's the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion is that there is an issue of chatzitz and shor rosh as well. So all of the dinim in Hilchas Tefillin regarding chatzitz are all based on these Gemaras and Zvachim. The original discussion of chatzitz in the Gemaras appears in the Gemara in Zvachim that we don't permit the Kohanim to have a chatzitze between the big dekuhuna and the body. So the Gemara, all the details in the Gemara are carried over in the Shulchan Aruch. Elav Gad Mashiyastu, I'm going to make them into Kohanim. By wearing these blood and they will become Kohanim. So this was once in the history of the world that they put on these blood and they became Kohanim and they all had Mashiach B'Shem and Anishcha. They all had Mashiachu. I'm going to make them into Kohanim. By wearing these blood and they will become Kohanim. So this was once in the history of the world. That they put on these gadim and they became kohanim and they all had mashiach b'shem and anishcha. They all had to go to a mikveh in order to give them, in order to endow them with kedushas kuna. And the kohanim, the five kohanim, Aaron and the four sons, all had to bring karbonis together b'shutzvus. The special karbonis is what made them into kohanim. Like we have such a din l'doros that a non-Jew who wants to convert, a non-Jew who is mizgair, wants to be endowed with kedushas Yisrael, has to go to a mikveh. The mikveh will give him kedusha. It's not a mikveh to remove tumah. A non-Jew is not mekabel tumah. So what is he going to the mikveh for? The answer is mikveh serves more than one purpose. It's not the one and only purpose of the mikveh is to remove tumah. Mikveh accomplishes other things as well. So by ager hamizgayer, or by tfilas kelim, or by the kohanim, or the dinners, that whenever a kohen comes into the Beis HaMikdash any given day, he wants to be makav karbonis. The Mishnah says in Yom, he has to be tovel in the mikveh. The tefillah in the mikveh is to give him the higher level of tushas kuna sheba migdosh, because he's going to put on the big day kuna soon. So he has to go to mikveh also to help him get that tushas kuna sheba migdosh. So here, this was the initiation of the whole institution of tushas kuna, period. It didn't exist yet. All the five kohanim, all the five lucky winners had to go to mikveh They had to be tovim, and they had to bring korbanos, special korbanos, like a ger. A ger habala, his gair, also has to bring korbanos. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that bizman shein beis hamikdash kaim, the korbanos of the ger are not likuva. But still, the Gemara says any non-Jew who converts bizman hazeh has to bring when the beis hamikdash will be built. If the ger will still be alive, he will be obligated to bring a korban in the beis hamikdash. That's the korban ager. So when they were endowed with kedushas kahuna on this special occasion, they all had to bring these special korbanos. Then the Gemara understands also that there was a seder to levishas habgadim. There was a specific seder that had to make the begadim, and they put on the begadim in a special order. And the Gemara in the first paragraph in Yuma says it's not 100% clear, keitzad hilbishon, which begadim did they put on first and which begadim did they put on second. So the Gemara has a discussion, keitzad hilbishon. So the Gemara asks the kasha, what's the difference? Ma'ida havi havi, bitul teira. You're discussing a hirashua once in the history of the world that's not relevant for teira. That's like you might as well discuss when Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, Harem is matchalayam of Kohev, that he should wave his cane, his magic wand, on top of Yamsuf, and he should make Kriyas Yamsuf. So he can clear that he have to pick it up. The Tefach, Tentfach, and that. It's all little Torah. What's an Afkimin? It's a Hayra Shor. It's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to discuss Torah. Torah means a dinim that annoyed Ladaris, but to discuss something that was and never will be repeated. So the Gemara says, Maida Hava Havi, whatever happened, happened. And it's no longer Talmud Torah. It's Bittul Torah to discuss it now. So the Gemara says, no. It'll be an Afkimina La Asid Lo, the Ketzad Malvishon La Asid Lo. What does that mean, Ketzad Malvishon La Asid Lo? It means all of the Kohanim who died will come back to life. Any Kohen who was born, if you have a Kohen, his father was a Kohen, his father was a Kohen, his father was a Kohen. See, this Kohen will come to the Beis HaMikdash, when Mashiach will come, will build the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen will come, they'll put on big dekuna, shoyin, and they'll do avaida. But those Kohen who died, and they're going to be, those who will be brought back to life after Tchiz Mason, so they're going to have, they'll have to be endowed anew with Kedusha's Kuna. That's what the Gemara says. So Ketzad Malbishon Lasi Lovay, after Tchiz Mason, if we want to restore the Kedushas Kuna to the Kohanim who passed away, we're going to have to start all over again. Because they weren't born naturally. They were brought back miraculously from the dead. So you'll have to repeat what was done at that time. So the Gemara says, Saketzim al-Bishon Lasi Lavai. So how, it is a Shaila that's Negele Dairis. Lasi Lavai, after Tchiz HaMesim, how will we do the Seder of Levisha Sabgadim to reinstate the Kedushas Kuna to all those Kohanim who passed away? An interesting question. So the Gemara says, don't worry about it. After Tchias HaMeis, Moshe Rabbeinu will be there, Aaron HaKohen will be there. We'll ask him, how did he do it the first time around? So we'll repeat it the second time. That's what the Gemara answers. But the whole discussion in the Gemara is very fascinating. That the Kohanim who died, who will come back to life, will have to have a new Kiddush in order to restore their Kiddush's Kuna, that they should be able to function in Beis HaMikdash.
Are we not talking about any
regular Kohanim? I don't think so. I think it only goes on those who are going to come back from the dead.
No, but you can't see that from the
pasuk. No, from the pasuk you get the impression that this is once in the history of the world. It's never going to be repeated. So the Gemara in the first paragraph in Yuma says, no, Lasi Lavoi, you're going to have to repeat the Seder Levisha Sabgadim the correct way. But the Pashup Shan the Gemara is
assumes that this was only them, they had to do it like this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would have assumed. So the Gemara says, no, it will be repeated again, it is Nagel Ladaris Lasi Lava. But the Gemara's Mashma, it's only Lasi Lava on those who will be coming back from the dead. Those who will be alive, not born naturally. A Kohen, Ben Kohen, Ben Kohen, Ben Kohen, Ben Ahaben, a Kohen. So they won't have to have to say the Levishas of God. There's a Kohen who walk into the Beis HaMikdash, put on Big Dikuna that fit, and it'll be Makrib de Korbanos. But if he's a Kohen and brought back from the dead, then you're going to have to repeat. That's l'chore what it sounds like. There is a one of the Tayyag Mitzvah Satira is that the Kohanim Shiri, the Kodshi Kodoshim, Achatas and Oshem, Shiori HaMincho, these are all Kodshi Kodoshim. So these are counted as mitzvahs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs L'Ramam, the other Sefer HaMitzvahs, a mitzvah to eat Kodshi Kodoshim. What about Kodshim Kalim? So Kodshim Kalim doesn't necessarily have to be eaten by Kohanim, it can be eaten by a non-Kohen as well. So is that also a mitzvah, or is that only a heter? It's permissible You're not allowed to leave it over noisa. Okay, lo sentir may not break it because it will become nisal. So someone has to eat it in order that it won't become noisa. But is it just that you're eating it in order not to violate the avera of lo sentir may not break it? Is it that you're eating it and you fulfill a mitzvah? Do you recite a bracha? Do you say asher kedushan be mitzvahs v'tzivano al achilos hazevach? You say a bracha al achilos hazevach? The last mishnah psachim sounds like you're saying a bracha al achilos hapesach. On Pesach night, it says Shekhrishanim says Al Achilas Psar HaPesach and Al Achilas HaZerach. That's what it sounds like. That you say Shlomim, the Shlomim, the Chagigas HaBasa, is the Korm Shlomim. Sounds like you say a bracha as you're about to eat it. So it sounds like there is a mitzvah to eat Shlomim. Sounds like there is a mitzvah to eat Shlomim. Some Mepharshim learn now and though that mishnah doesn't go on Achilas HaPesach. That's what the Rashbam says. Some Mepharshim learn it goes on the Kohen is Makriv on Erev Pesach. The Kohen is doing this mitzvah sadam. Hashem kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu lizrak dama pesach. Hashem kedushanu b'mitzvos lizrak dama zevach. Goes on the avodas on erev yontif b'yom. Doesn't go on achilas b'layla. So do you say a bracha when you're about when you eat korban pesach? That's for sure you say a bracha. That's a mitzvah. Every Jew has to eat kazayis of korban pesach. Is it really a mitzvah to eat shlomim? It's not an obligation to eat shlomim. You're not obligated to eat a shlomim. If you don't want, you don't have to. You just have to see to it that it should be eaten. Not to violate los Syrian men abek, but is it really a mitzvah that requires a bracha? It's questionable. So there is a gemar m'sachim, and it seems like Rav Zalba Soloveitchik writes in the Sefer HaFamish, he takes it that this is a machlekes, the Rambam and Rashi. The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Sinishke Mitzvah. The Rambam thinks only Achilas Kochi Kochim, Ayidei Zichrekuna, that's a mitzvah. Because the Chatos and the Yosham and the Shiori HaMincha have to be eaten by Zichrekuna in the Azara. So it's like an avoda that a kohenis is not allowed to do the avoda, so she's not allowed to eat the chatas in the yoshem. When the kohen zocher eats it, so the Gemara has an expression: kohanim ochlim ubailim iskaprim. The achilas hakohanim is like an avoda, like zvika sadam. This is one of the avodas. The Gemara says it's not liakev. If it's nitmo, let's say the basa will be nitmo, the basa will be nevad, it will get lost. But then the Gemara says the korban will be kosher. The most of the Rishonim assume, who had the nami, let's say the basa was lein nitma and lein neva, the kohanim just didn't bother to eat it, they just left it there, and they allowed it to become neisa, they violated the avera lo sasir mena breaker, and the bisar ha-chatos and the osham was never eaten. So most of the Rishonim assume that you still yotze the mitzvah, that achilas ha-kohanim is not liake. And the goyim had a gears in the Gemara and Yevamos, on that tzadik, that achilas kohanim is meake, kohanim ochel mebalim is kapin. If the basa would be nitma or ovad, so no more mitzvah to eat it. But if the basa is sitting in front of us in the azar and it's tahor, and the kohanim don't bother to eat it, so that's moshe l'mal davadim, that they have the dam and they're not zerik the dam. So you're not yoytze. They take this, that's the way they had the gears of the Rashbo. And you want the tzadik, amaral, of course, this gears of sagoyim, that if the basa is there and the kohanim are obligated to eat it and they don't bother to eat it, so it's ma'akev in the kapara. The Gemara says kohanim, ochlum, abayim, is kaprin. So that's the Rambam's opinion that Achilas Kohanim, the Rambam doesn't hold like the Goyim's Girsa, but the Rambam holds Achilas Kohanim on Kochi Kochim constitutes a mitzvah. Achilas HaYisraelim on the Kochim Kalim is permissible to eat, but it's not a mitzvah. It's just Aloy says, you have to seek with it, someone eats it, you shouldn't allow it to become nice. And Rashi writes on the Gemara, Mtsochim, based on the pasuk of Bei Sedra that speaks about a shlomim, so it says on the shlomim, for ochlu osam asher krupa bohem, the bnei Aharon should eat the shlomim. The Rashi says from this pasuk you see that there's a mitzvah to eat kachim kalim as well. Now, Rashi is a big problematic Rashi because Rashi on today's Sedra points out in connection with that pasuk, we ochlu osam asher krupa bohem, lamale es yad melakaydish oisam bezar lo yechol ki kodeshem. A non-Kohen, the Zar Lo Yachol, is not allowed to eat the Shlomim. Why? Ki Kodeshen. Because these Shlomim are Kochi Kochim. Normal Shlomim is Kochim Kalim. But Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur is Kochi Kochim. It says someone is on the Kohen. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur Vashom, say Lahen Hashem, says Kochi Kochim. Shlomim is the one and only carbon that splits. Sometimes it's Kochim Kalim, sometimes Kochi Kochim. If it's a Shalmei Yochid, it's a kachim kalim. If it's a shalmei tzibur, it's a kachim kalim. So normally there's only one shalmei tzibur all year long. That's a kipsei atzeres. The two shlamim that are brought on Shavuot, atzeres and Shavuot, have the status of zidche shalmei tzibur, that's kachim kalim. But Rashi points out on this chumash, on this pasuk in Tetzaba, v'yachla osma shkupa pehem, v'zar le'yachol ki kodesh, that means that it's kodesh kodoshim. It's a shalmei tzibur. This was only Hayrashah once in the history of the world. They brought these karbonis and the Shilas Imeim Eluim. So this was a Shalmei Tzibur. So because it was a Shalmei Tzibur, it also had the status of Kachi Kach. So Akin Rashi and Pesachim derive from this pasuk that there's a mitzvah, Achlos Mashikul Pabayim, that by all Kach and Kalim there's a mitzvah, Sachilos Abaylim. No. There's a Kachi Kach over here. There's not Kach and Kalim. It's a Pella. It's a Pella. Rashi quotes this pasuk. Achlos Mashikul Rashi and Pesachim quotes this pasuk to indicate that there is a mitzvah of Achilas Habaylem and the Kochim Kalim. It doesn't make a difference. What's the difference? Kochim Kalim. It's not an ironclad proof. You can do it like the Rambam says, no, the mitzvah Rashi, that didn't occur to Rashi. That there's a difference between Kochim Kalim and Kochim Kalim. Rashi's only asking, by Zichre Kun, it says they have to eat. By the Bible, the just an Easter, by Sisira Men Abarka, where does it say that there's a mitzvah on the Bible? They said, here's a pasuk, it's a mitzvah on the Bible, carbon, eat the carbon. This is kach, kach, and that's kach, what's the difference? Rashi couldn't even conjure up in his mind the halamina to distinguish between. And the Rambam, and the Sefer Mitzvah, that was not so. The Yad HaZak also was like that. The mitzvah of Achilles kach, and he holds only kach, kach. There's no mitzvah on Achilles kach and kach. So, according to the Rambam, you shouldn't say a brach al Achilles HaZera. There's no mitzvah, it's just you don't need to say a bracha before you eat kosher food, and not to eat non-kosher food. So what are you going to say a bracha? Al achilas hazevach, that we're not in violation of the sisirim menah. Right there. That's a loisus. You don't say a bracha when you're about to shave with an electric shaver in order to avoid violating the issur of shaving with a razor. You don't say a bracha on that. So they shouldn't say a bracha when they're about to eat the shlamim. There's no mitzvah to eat shlamim, it's just not to violate the din of loisusirim. So that shouldn't warrant the bracha. The Rambam will have to learn like those other Mepharshim who say that the last Mishnah stuff and that talks about reciting the Bracha Birach al HaZevach and Birach al HaPesach doesn't go on Achilos HaZevach, it goes on Shchitas HaZevach. Shchitas HaZevach, that's Hakamitz, that's an Avodah. This is an interesting, these Karbonis are interesting Karbonis. This was a Karbon that's offered the Shutvas by five Kohanim. Aaron, Nadab, Avi, Elazar, Yisrael, all five together brought this special series of karbanas that are described in today's setting. What's taka the din normally? If a group of people donate one shlomim together, a shutvin, a karban ha-shutvin, there is such an institution, a karban ha-shutvin, so the Gemara has something special to say regarding tenufa and regarding smicha. The Gemara says, Reuben and Shimon bring a karban together, shlomim together. So they can't both do smicha at the same time on the same part of the animal. Smicha is done on the head with both hands. You know, it says, Samach as Yado, the Gemara learns out that the Mishnah says you have to be Samach Pishteyadan. So the head of the animal is not big enough to put four hands on it. So if I put my two hands, Reuben and Shimon, I bring in a carbon shlom and bishutzvis, so one does smicha and then the other guy does smicha, bizach hazeh, because we'll do smicha bevasachas. Your hands will be a chatzitza between my hands and the carbon, and the Gemara says that will pose a problem. It's a din of chatzitza by smicha. That's what it says in the Gemara. So, a carbon ashutzim, each one does smicha v'zeach hazeh. What's with the tenufa? Let's say you have a carbon that has a cause of a shok, so you have to do tenufa. So how do you do the tenufa? So the Gemara says, carbon ashutzim, echad meinefayideh kulam. They can't do tenufa over v'asachas, it'll be a chatzitza. Your hand with my hand will be a chatzitza in between the my hand and the chaz of a shayt. So the Gemara says, so let's do tenufa b'zeach hazeh, like you do smicha b'zeach hazeh. The Gemara says, no, we learn out from a pasuk that you only do one tenufa. So one of the shutvim, if you have two shutvim or ten shutvim, so one shutvim does the tenufa echad meinev ayidei kulam. One does tenufa on behalf of all of them. So here the pasuk says b'feirish that they all participated in the tenufa. The pasuk says that Aaron and the four sons brought all the dishlamim, so it says they all did the tenufa. And it says they all did the smicha. So the Ravid writes in his Pirush on the Torah's Kohanim, Parashat Shmini, when it says that they brought these Tzav and Shmini, that they brought all these special karbonas for the Hanukkah HaMizbeach and for the Hanukkah HaKohanim. So the Ravid writes, they probably did it b'zach hazeh, in order that it shouldn't be a violation of the issue of Chatzitza. So Rav Elva Lasolovetchik quotes this Ravid in the Shurim on the Gemara, on Tzmura. In the first daf in Tmur, the Gemara quotes some of the dinim of the carbon ashutim. So Ragavala suggests maybe he says maybe he can say not like the Raivi. Maybe the pshat is like this. On a normal Karban HaShutvim, a group of five people get together. They can't afford to pay. No one is that wealthy they should be able to afford a Karban. So five people together chip in money and they buy one shlomim together. So really, they're five independent bailim. The fact that I'm a Bala Karban is unrelated to you. If I would have had enough money, I would have bought my shlomim without any shutvim. Happens that five people together, joined together, each one is an independent shutev. So if you'll have everybody do tenufa, do smicha, bevasachas, your hands will be a hatzitza with my hands. Over here it was a hayrashah that they can't all five bring five sets of karbanos. Aaron and the four sons who will be coming kohanim, the Rabbanu Shlom said they have to be yated with one set of karbanos, not because they can't afford it. They're not paying for it anyway. The Klal Yisrael is paying for it over here. So the halacha, and it's not in order to save money. The halacha says that it's one korban on behalf of all. So that's what Avalvala suggests. Maybe the hayrashah was that they treated like one big bailim. Not that each one is an independent bailim, and his hands will be a chatzitz between my hands and the chaz of a shev. Maybe we treat all five as one bailim. So maybe that's the reason why they all did the smicha bevasachas. And your hands wouldn't be a chatzitz between my hands and the korban, because we're all one big unit of a bailim. And maybe that's why they all did the tenufa. Normally, a korban ashutvim, only one echad meinavai they kulam. One does tenufa and the others don't have to. But over here, the halacha said that all five together constitute one bailim. So maybe all five did the tenufa together. Not like their raivit. That's what Rav Elbel would suggest. Lule, dibri haraivit, he would have suggested that all five did the tenufa bevasachas and all five did the smicha bevasachas. He would have thought that it doesn't mean that they did the zahaza. I think it's usually assumed that the seven kanim of the menorah represent the sheva chochmas. That the rabbis in the morning do not discourage the students from studying secular studies in the afternoon. I don't know how this crackpot woman got this crazy idea. She wrote the newspaper, the rabbis in the morning discourage the students from going in the afternoon. Whatever you study in the afternoon is garbage. Maybe what she teaches is garbage. Maybe some courses are taka garbage. But we believe in the seven kanim of the menorah. There are sheva chachmas. The Baruch Shalom created this world, and all of the chachmas give illumination. And if you want to understand Torah well, you have to know all of the chachmas. But all of the chachmas doesn't mean the nivul pen, secular literature. It doesn't mean the apikursis in philosophy and in history of Avodah Zarah. That's not from the sheva chachmas. The sheva chachmas are the chachmas that the Baruch Shalom created in the world. Physics, and chemistry, and mathematics. And biology, these are the chachmas. Some of the other things are not chachmas. Just because a human being came up, just because God created the human mind, the human mind came up with some shagas, so that means that everything is kodesh. Why? You never heard of people coming up with absolutely sheer shtus vehevel? Read all the magazines, read all the nebel pedal people. It's not a hechrech. The Gemara has a sugi in the first parak in Sanhedrin. The Gemara has a Rav Soloveitchik once delivered a shir on this agadita. A whole daf Gemara has agadita. The Gemara has that there was a pidgam amami, there was a folk saying that goes like this, and the Amoraim were searching through Tanakh to find, they thought that it was such a nice idea, they searched through Tanakh and they found the source in Tanakh. Then another folk saying, about 10 different pidgamim amamiim, that they found the sources in Tanakh. So you get the impression from the Gemara that the premise of all of the discussion was that if Klal Yisrael has such an idea, so it must be rooted in Tanakh, because we believe that the Malach teaches the Jewish children Kol HaTorah Kula before they're born. So if a religious Jew comes up with an idea, a lot of religious Jews come up with some idea, we assume that there probably is a source in Tanakh. It probably, if it's a nice idea, it's probably stemming from the Liman HaTorah that they have in their Neshamas from before. But if a Nachri comes up with an idea, Eichet Teisa, that it's going to be something of significance, just because a Goy, a Shikere Goy wrote a poem, so it means it's going to have a value to it. Who says? Maybe yeah, maybe no. And if it has value, the Stami can find it in Tanakh. So what do you need? The whole idea of studying the Elah Chofnes are the things that don't appear in Tanakh. The biology, with the physics, with the chemistry, with mathematics, That's hard to find the Tanakh. The Tanakh knew how to find it in the Tanakh. The Gemara says they could figure out issues of biology by darshaning. They had Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSnan to figure out how long the pregnancy of the different snakes is. The days of the Amoraim, they didn't have that ability. And Mizman HaZeh, for sure, we don't have that ability. We don't know all of these Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSnan. So we have to come on to all of the Sheva Chachmas of the world to help us understand the world better. To understand the Torah, you have to understand how everything fits in together. But the same Bari Olam who created the world gave us the Torah. So there's going to be a connection between the two. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon, to the extent that a person is lacking in the Chachmas HaTeva, so to that extent he will be lacking many times over in the Liman HaTorah. He won't fully understand Torah. But I don't think that it necessarily applies to the humanities at all. It goes on the real Chachmas. The Sheva Chachmas goes on the chemistry with the physics. Chachma Bagoyim Tamin. Of course there's Chachma Bagoyim. We're supposed to master that Chachma also. Okay.